Good morning. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We can still say Merry Christmas. It's the 12th day of Christmas, okay? So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And let's begin our worship by standing and singing our gathering hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. The first and third stanzas printed in your order of worship. Be seated. And the Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God together as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here, and we are so glad that you have come on this special Sunday as we will be celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord, and we'll be sharing in Holy Communion later in our service. Thank you for being here, and thank you to those who are joining us by radio or by our live stream. We thank you for being part of our worship and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And we invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Let me mention just a few things very quickly. Our youth group will not meet this evening, but we will resume next Sunday evening at 5:30. And then Wednesday evening, we will resume Big Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Please contact the church office by tomorrow to make your reservations. And then Kids Club will meet at 6:30, choir practice will be at 6:45, and we'll resume prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock. We're going to be studying Paul's letters to the Thessalonian church over the next couple of months, so read that before you come this week, and that'll be helpful to you. I want to say thanks to all those who remember Joanne and me with cards or gifts during the Christmas season. We do deeply appreciate your kind and encouraging thoughts and gestures. And the flowers today are given to the glory of God and in celebration of the new year by Sarah Davis. And we appreciate that very much as well. I invite you to join me in our call to worship, printed in your order of worship. It comes from Psalm 72, if you'll join in on the bold print. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles render him tribute. May the kings of Seba and Sheba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations give him service. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, who by a star led the wise men from far away to see the Christ child, draw us and all people to him, so that as we praise you in worship now, we may come to meet you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 150, As With Gladness Men of Old. 150. be seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. And I realized that was one of the scripture lessons last Sunday, and my text for today will be the same as Rick used last Sunday, but we're approaching it from different emphases. So Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and this morning I'm reading from the New International Version. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. And then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, the Apostle Paul writes these words. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, that is, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The word of the Lord. Praise His holy name. As we come now to our prayer time, there are a number of folks that we want to continue to remember in our prayers. Of course, we want to continue to remember the families of Alan Revel and T.W. Hill, and we're glad that Debbie is able to be back with us today. We also are praying for Rita Whitley Burgess's family. She passed away on December 30th. We also continue to pray for Randy and Cindy Copeland, Sherry and Jeanette Parker, Bonnie and Faye Jenkins, and Gary Brett. And I'm sure that there are others on our hearts and minds as well. Certainly we want to remember those who have been affected by the tragic and awful events that have taken place this week. We want to remember our country and our leaders. So let's join together in prayer. God of light, Lord of all nations, You've shown Your glory in Your Son, Jesus Christ, to all humanity. And we thank You for the power in Him that's drawn us together and baptized us into one holy church. We praise You for the work You've given us to do in the world as You've called us to be on mission with Christ. Help us, Lord, to go before You with the good news of the gospel so that all people may know Your truth and follow Your Son and serve and praise You. We also come, Lord, to present our petitions and our intercessions to You, for we know You care for us and that You hear us when we pray and that You answer our prayers according to Your gracious will and purpose. And indeed, that's good, Lord, for we know that Your gracious will and purpose is always best. And so we pray now for the work of Your kingdom in the world, Lord, and for Your church throughout the world and in this place. We pray, Father, that as we, as Your people, follow Jesus, and as we seek to serve You and minister to those who are in need and to share the good news of Christ, we pray, Father, that You will work through us and that You will use us to bring people to Yourself. We pray, Lord, for our country and our state and our town, for our current leaders, and for those who are just beginning to take office, Lord. We ask Your help for them, Your guidance, Your direction, and pray, Father, that they would work with integrity and seek true justice in our land. Father, we pray for those who are suffering from the devastations that have been brought about in recent months by disasters at home and abroad. Lord, there's been so much bad weather. There have been earthquakes and wildfires. Lord, there are wars, mass killings. We pray for those who are suffering because of these things and ask Your help for them. Lord, as we think of our brothers and sisters in other lands and we lift them to You, we
We realize that some of them are persecuted and oppressed because of their faith. We realize that some of them, Lord, will become martyrs because of their faith. We lift them to you, ask your help, your grace, your endurance, your strength for them. Lord, for those who are sick or have been injured, for those who are facing surgery, for those who may be undergoing treatment of some kind, for those, Father, who must endure chronic illness, we lift them to you and ask your special blessings on them, praying for your healing hand to touch them where that can be your will. And Lord, where you choose to work in other ways, that you will give them endurance and grace, and that in those situations you'll work to accomplish your purpose in their lives and the lives of those around them. Lord, we pray for those who grieve. We especially pray for the families of Alan Revel and T.W. Hill, and for others, Lord, who may be grieving during this time. Watch over them and bless them and help them, Lord. Give them your strength, your grace, your comfort. Father, we pray for our children and for our young people. We pray for their parents, for all their families. We ask your help for them. We pray, Lord, for those who teach them, those who guide them in other ways. And Lord, not only for our children and our youth, but also for our college students and young adults. We pray especially, Father, for Chowan and for the students and faculty and staff and administration there. And Lord, we pray for those who don't know you. We ask that you will help us to live our lives in such a way that they will see Christ in us. To live in such a way, Father, that they will see that there is something to this faith business, that Jesus does indeed make a difference in our lives, and that that will open their hearts to be willing to listen to the good news of Christ. And Lord, that you will touch their hearts and that they will turn to you. Lord, we lift all of these prayers to you now. In the strong name of your Son, our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, is one God now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 151, We Three Kings, 151.
Traverse afar, field and fountain more.
pray. Gracious Father, when the Magi came to visit the Christ child, they opened their treasures and presented him with valuable gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh in recognition that he was the born King of the Jews who'd be a Savior for all the peoples. Grant us that same insight and help us to give the best gifts out of our treasure, our time, and our talents, even our very selves. We pray in his name. Amen. Thank you. Our text is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let's pray together. And so, Father, speak to us now as we look into your word. Guide us. Guide our thoughts, and Lord, help us to seek you and to worship you and to give ourselves to you completely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Magi, they were called, wise men from the east, probably from Persia, the land we know today as Iran, maybe from Babylonian, what we know today as Iraq. Though the Bible calls them Magi and never tells us how many there were, tradition has made them three kings, named Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar. Biblical scholars tell us that they were the religious and intellectual upper crust of their nation. They were probably the priestly caste of their nation, like the descendants of Aaron from the tribe of Levi in Israel. They were the wise men of their land. They studied the stars, partly astronomy, partly astrology, as well as the natural sciences and medicine of their day. And unlike some of the Magi that we read about in the book of Daniel, these were good men. They did what they did to care for their people and to help them and provide for their needs. They were not in it for themselves. And now they'd come to Jerusalem to find a baby, but not just any baby. They had come looking for the baby who had been born the King of the Jews. As they studied the stars, they'd seen a new one appear, an obvious sign in the heavens to them that a new king had been born. And we're not sure how, but somehow they determined that this represented the one who was to be that mighty king of the Jews that even the Gentiles were expecting. And so they came to pay him homage. They came to worship him. Now, despite the suggestions of skeptics and even some scholars, this beautiful story is far more than legend. Because, you see, at this time in the world, it was not only the Jews who were expecting Messiah, the world was looking for a mighty king to arise. And the Roman historians Suetonius and Tacitus noted a widespread belief, especially in the East, that a mighty ruler was to arise from Judea. Well, the Magi probably shared this expectation, and they were careful watchers of the stars. Belief in astrology was common in the ancient world, except among the Jews. So for these Magi, what they saw in the stars meant something. It meant something.
And while God spoke to the Jews through scripture and prophets and angels to announce the coming of this mighty ruler, he announced it to these magi through his creation, especially through the stars. Now, astronomers and theologians alike have advanced a number of speculations about exactly what it was that the Magi saw. We don't know. We just simply don't know what it was. There was a series of astronomical events that took place during the range of time when Jesus would have been born, things that most people would not have noticed, but those watching the stars certainly would have, and especially those who knew how to interpret and explain the significance of these kinds of things. Well, back in the late 1500s, early 1600s, Johannes Kepler, the great German astronomer, calculated that there was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn that took place in 7 BC, and he speculated whether that might have been what they saw. We simply don't know. Others have said that it may have been a comet. Others have given other explanations. Some have even said it was simply an angel that was guiding them. Again, we don't know. We just know that somehow there was something in the heavens that they best described as a star that guided them to where the Christ child was. Now, these magi were so moved by this sighting that they felt compelled to find this new king. They had to go and worship him. And so they set out on their 1,000-mile journey following the star. And it led them to Judea. Well, it was only natural then, if they are led to Judea and they know that this is the star that represents the one who was the born king of the Jews, you go to the capital, right? And so they went to the capital and they were asking people, where is the one who's born the king of the Jews? And people don't know, but word starts circulating and King Herod hears about it. And when he heard about it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. You see, he was a suspicious, paranoid, ruthless old man. During his reign, Herod had killed anyone he even suspected of being a rival or a threat to his power, including one of his wives, his high priestly brother-in-law, a mother-in-law, an uncle, and even three of his own sons. In fact, there was a saying that was going around saying that it was better to be Herod's sow than his son. That's how ruthless he was. Well, that the Magi asked for the born king of the Jews, as you could closely translate the phrase, that was even worse for Herod because, you see, he was an Idumean. After the Jews won their independence from the Seleucid Empire in the 160s BC, their leaders forced the Idumeans, who were the descendants of Esau, to convert to the Jewish faith. And so Herod's physical lineage was not Jewish, and his practice of Judaism was suspect at best. He was not the born king of the Jews. He was appointed by the Roman Senate in 40 BC. And so in the eyes of the Jews, he might have been king, but he was not their king. So no wonder Matthew tells us that all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. They knew him well. They knew the extreme measures he was capable of taking. And when we read later on in Matthew 2 about his attempt to eliminate this new king by ordering the slaughter of all the baby boys in Bethlehem 2 years old and under, well, that was in keeping with his character. And so he was so troubled by all this that he was trying to devise a plan to deal with this new threat. He called the chief priests and the scribes together to find out where this king, the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. He knew who this king was to be. He was to be the Messiah they were looking for and expecting. And he was going to try to do him in. Now, the chief priests and the scribes didn't know this, and so they told him, well, Scripture says in Micah chapter 5, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They said, there it is right there. He's to be born in Bethlehem.
And so, with this information in hand, Herod summoned the Magi secretly. He asked them when the star first appeared. You see, this he was devising plan A and plan B. And this was giving him information for plan B in case plan A failed. Because plan A was that he would send the Magi to Bethlehem to find the Christ child, and then they were to report back to him so he could also come and worship him. Well, when that failed, he executed plan B, killing all the baby boys 2 years old and under. The Magi came to Bethlehem. They found the Christ child, and in some way the star went ahead of them and stopped over the place where he was. To say that they were overjoyed, as the NIV translates it, doesn't quite do it justice. In the Greek, it's more like the way the Revised Standard Version translates it. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It was more than that, they were overjoyed. Well, they entered the house and saw Jesus with his mother Mary. They fell on their faces. They worshiped him. From their treasures, they presented him valuable gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And after they worshiped him, God warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And so they went home by another route. And as I said, when they didn't report back, he carried out plan B. Well, an angel warned Joseph in a dream that Herod would try to kill Jesus, and so he took Mary and Jesus to Egypt and stayed there until Herod died. It's amazing, isn't it? Magi came looking for majesty. They encountered the majesty of Herod, the appointed king of the Jews, in order to try to find the born king of the Jews. Herod's majesty was not legitimate, and it was only temporal. It wasn't what they were looking for. But Jesus' majesty was vastly different. It wouldn't show up while he was here because his majesty is eternal, not temporal. And yet these Magi knew he was the born king of the Jews, and they came from afar to find him. It wasn't out of curiosity. It wasn't even out of respect to one who'd become a head of state. They came to worship him. They were looking for him to fulfill the hopes and dreams of all the nations for a redeemer who would arise from the Jews. They inquired of Herod on his throne, and they did that with all due respect. But when they found Jesus, he was not on a throne. He was in a simple little house with his peasant parents. And they bowed before him and offered him their finest gifts. They worshiped him as the one who would rule on the throne of his father David, this one about whom it would be said in Revelation chapter 11, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The Magi recognized the true majesty of the Christ child, and they worshiped him. And so today, this Lord's Day before the day of Epiphany, which will actually be tomorrow, January 6th, we remember how they came to him and offered their gifts as they worshiped him. Epiphany comes from the Greek word epiphania, which means appearance or manifestation. It's the celebration of Jesus' being revealed to the Gentiles as the Savior of the world in the person of the Magi. They represented us, who are Gentiles, and he was presented to them. In that moment, the coming of the nations to the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, began. But what does all this call for from us? Well, doesn't it call us to seek him just as the Magi did? To look for him, to seek him in our lives, to search for him and his presence and his will in our lives. Doesn't it call us to worship him as they did, offering him our best gifts and, more importantly, our very selves? Doesn't it call us to obey God as they did, when he warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, but to go home by another way. And by that obedience, to be God's instruments in accomplishing his purpose in the world. And doesn't it call us to remember that he is the King of all nations? And that because he is, he calls on us as his people to be on mission with Christ in the world to take the good news to all the nations.
Christmastide is passing. The new year has come, and Epiphany is upon us again. As the Magi worshiped Christ as his majesty, God revealed his Son to the nations. Have you seen him? Have you worshiped him? Have you given yourself to him? If not, will you right now? Let's pray. Oh Lord, just as the Magi sought Christ, help us to seek him. Just as they worshiped him, help us to worship him. And just as you began to reveal yourself to all the nations when they came, help us to be on mission with Christ to carry that good news to all the nations. Lord, if there are those here who don't yet know you, or those who are listening on the radio or online, speak to their hearts. Draw them to yourself. Help them to trust in you. And help those of us who already believe, Lord, to be faithful in following Jesus, our King. We pray in his name. Amen. On this Epiphany Sunday and the first day of the new year, we come to celebrate Holy Communion, to remember that the baby who came and was born in Bethlehem, the baby the wise men visited sometime later, is the one who was the Word become flesh, who dwelt among us, and who gave himself for us so that we could have life. And so this morning, as we come to partake of Holy Communion, we come to remember him, to remember who he is, to remember what he's done. Our Lord is the host at this table, and he invites all those who have put their faith in him and who have experienced Christian baptism in any way to participate in this holy meal. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for this simple meal of bread and the fruit of the vine, which become to us a sign of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, which become to us the experience of his presence as the risen Lord when we share in faith. Father, we thank you for how you work down through the ages, creating the world and working to redeem us when we went astray. We thank you for the promises that you gave throughout the Old Testament, how you would send the Messiah, and how in our Lord Jesus Christ you have honored those promises, how in him the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We thank you, Father, that as we partake of this meal, we remember him. We remember how he gave himself for us, how he had lived a perfect life to show us your ways, how he had taught us of the kingdom of God, and then how he gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We thank you, Father, that he rose from the dead, that he is our living Lord who is seated with you at your right hand in heaven, exalted to the highest place. And we look forward to when he will come again in glory to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. So bless us now as we partake of this holy meal, Lord. Hear us, Father, as we offer our prayers in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture tells us that the night before Christ gave himself on the cross for us, while they were eating the Passover meal, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Thank you, Father, for this bread, which is to us a sign of the body of Christ, which he gave for us on the cross. As we partake of it in faith, Lord, though it remains bread, may it become to us in a mystical way the body of Christ as we feed on him. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And he broke the bread, and then he gave it to his disciples. Said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Later in the supper, took the cup and he gave thanks. And so, Lord, for this cup, which is a sign to us of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. As he poured out his lifeblood for us, may we pour out ourselves for him in gratitude and loving service. We pray in his name. Amen. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Said, drink it in remembrance of me. Scripture tells us that afterward they sang a hymn before they went out to the Mount of Olives. Our hymn of response is number 137, Sing We Now of Christmas. During this hymn, there is a commitment that God's dealing with you about. You need to come and share. We invite you to do that. Or if you're putting your faith in Christ, we invite you to come and share that good news with us today. Let's stand and sing number 137.
Thank you.
coming and worshiping God together and sharing in communion. And we pray it was a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Father, as we begin a new year, we pray that you would help us as your people to be committed to carrying the light of the world to the world, of spreading the good news through deeds of mercy, works of love, and words of witness. We pray, Father, that as we go forth, you would empower us, you would empower our congregation. Lord, that this would be a year when we would see many turn to you, that we would see those who have drifted away turn back to you. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us in Christ. Thank you for our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to follow him faithfully now. And now, as you go into the new year, my brothers and sisters, to carry the light of the world, the Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen.